Thank you, Carmen. hello, everyone. My name is Rich, and I'm a recovering adult child and grateful to be on this workshop today with all of you. Special thanks to the committee and Zoe and Carmen and Marcus and anyone else serving on this committee. I also know that they're also members of the Jabaka Intergroup. I currently hold the intergroup rep position for the Friday night ACA Zoom room. So I've been attending intergroup for the last half year, and hopefully will continue to serve. I hope that I can speak on these topics that were given to me. I just want to first say that I don't speak for ACA. I am a member of ACA and will share my own experiences as I believe are a part of my own understanding of recovering from cultural and racial issues. I've never attended a BIPOC meeting. So that's the first time I've heard the term racial sobriety. And if for some reason I address something that may be a bit misleading or skewed, it's only because I perhaps lack the education. So please understand that I also do not claim to be an academic or scholar in any of these issues. I just merely am sharing, again, my own experiences. I started 12-step program. I'm 61 now. I started just before my 30th birthday, and it was purely out of desperation of loneliness. And most of 12-step at that time for me was just a whirlwind of emotion and new ideas of myself and the world. So it was a tremendous amount of confusion, really. And that lasted a good 10 years plus. It wasn't until I went into yet another 12-step program for sex and love addiction that I believe I began any real work. It was the first time I got a sponsor. It was the first time I had really experienced what we sometimes call an emotional bottom, physical bottom. I had recovered from drugs and alcohol, but it did not seem to carry the darkness of losing oneself or losing myself. So just to give a quick background, I'm grateful to be on the Jabeka Intergroup because I just kind of stumbled on Jabeka by accident, and that's where I grew up, was in the East Bay, San Francisco East Bay. I grew up in a small town by the name of Alameda, where I spent most of my time. It's a fairly reserved town, quiet. I'm the third youngest of a family of 9 children.
Yeah.
Third generation Mexican American. And I spent some of my young adulthood in Oakland, California. But that was in progression of trying to identify culturally as well as seeking, my idea of being accepted by a family of men who were, for the most part, just slightly dangerous to themselves and others, including me. My father was a violent alcoholic, and my mother was a codependent. Now, these are terms I didn't understand until coming into recovery. So you have to understand that I'm saying this today in hindsight. As a child, I have no clue what the hell is going on, other than I know something is wrong. There is definitely something wrong. Why children are being treated like this by the two people who, quote unquote, are supposed to be taking care of them. Never mind loving them. How about just some basic decency? Some support, some level of encouragement. Hey, our lives were horrible. We're going to do our best to see that you don't have to relive that. Well, that was quite the opposite message I received. Our childhoods were horrible. Hence, therefore, you will not have a childhood. My parents grew up in Texas. Robstown, my mother was from Robstown. My father was from Corpus Christi. By some higher power already working in my life, and perhaps the lives of everyone in my family, we moved to California because I can guarantee you, had I grown up in Texas, I would not be sitting here with all of you. There's just no way. I know this because as a child, we were forced to endure a cross-country ride to their hometowns from California. And as a child, I could see the devastation, to go from dysfunction at home back to their homes and see this so-called living, which basically was everybody sat on the porch and got drunk until they fell out of their chairs. Thank you. Please take me home. From the moment sitting in that back of that station wagon to the moment we got home, that's all I thought about. Please take me home. Now, here is to my understanding, and again, thank you, Zoe, for your help. I'm to speak about labeling and scapegoating. And this program offers us the affirmation of becoming our true, authentic selves. I believe I am still becoming that. And perhaps I will fully comprehend and achieve that before leaving this earth or dimension. I don't know. That is my hope for myself. I do believe I'm headed in the right direction. I do believe I'm steadfast in this course in recovery, this spiritual process by evidence of the 12 steps. However, I also, pardon me. Did some I didn't catch that. I still find myself indulging in the dysfunction, laundry list, character defects, defenses, whatever it is we're calling them today. Survival traits. It is ingrained beyond the level of comprehension that I am capable of managing on my own, because I have tried and it doesn't work. Without a 12-step program, without a higher power, I am defenseless against my own thinking. My education consists of public schooling, television, and 12 steps. That is my education, and that's what you'll get today. It scared me beyond belief when I was sitting in meetings and members were speaking about things that I had no clue, no understanding, no insight, no awareness as to what was being discussed. And today I'm asked to speak on labeling and scapegoating. My parents spoke Spanish. I did not. My father told me, I don't ever want to hear you speaking Spanish. Not for the reasons of discrimination, but because he felt that my Spanish was horrible. And he would rather hear me speak English than plagiarize his language. Well, how come it's your language? How come it's not mine? Why didn't you teach me? Why didn't you teach me? Was it that you were too busy doing something else? Or was I just not that important to you? The other social, I see I'm about 8 minutes. The other social thing which brings up fear and shame is that I have a sister who's severely handicapped, quadriplegic. Now, you see, I can say that this afternoon because I understand now what a quadriplegic is. As a child, if I had a question, it was met with resistance, generally some type of physical result. I have a question about my sister. Nobody is helping me. Why? She's actually in a home today, but and I do my best to emotionally support her and send what little I can to help financially. But I suppose in some ways I do question my higher power in that sense. Okay, what is labeling? You know, I honestly don't know. I don't know what that means. Are we saying that the types of wording I heard growing up at home and in school, is that the kind of labeling we're talking about? These are learned behaviors, I believe. Whatever my parents taught me, their parents taught them. You know, quite honestly, I didn't know if I was Latino or white because no one ever told me. We lived most of the time next to two Latino families. Everybody spoke Spanish but me. I'm coming up on 5 minutes and I haven't even, I need to be mindful that it's important that I bring in the solution and the steps into these two categories. part of my work is to be mindful not to slip into victimizing myself through labeling and scapegoating. If I understand correctly, labeling is ideas or impressions that I've learned and I project them onto other people, including myself. And scapegoating, to my understanding, is I make something or someone else the reason for my own issues or problems. Neither one of these work. And it is part of the dysfunction, as far as I'm concerned, of this program. I am working with a sponsor. I am fortunate. I'm on my third sponsor. I've worked the steps with all three. Currently, my sponsor now, by the grace of God, we've known each other for almost over 20 years. He's in the East Bay, too. It's a horrible thing to live a life blaming other people for my problems, for my own issues, for the way I think, for the way I act, for the way I conduct myself in my personal life. I mean, the moment I log off this meeting, it's up to me. To become our true, authentic selves. Through the process of this program. Now, I'm not saying I'm sober or fully recovered, but what I am saying, for the last 30 years, I've been implementing some part of this process of the 12 steps into my life on a daily basis. Sometimes it doesn't even show. Sometimes I just become so angry that I tell my higher power, please get out of my way. I want to blame the world for the problems that are coming. And I can't change the world. I can only change me. Just like our Serenity Prayer says, the courage, the faith, the willingness to change the one I can. I'm still growing up. I still have a lot to learn. I will certainly meditate on this idea of racial sobriety. I'm quite certain I'll be having more conversations with Zoe and Carmen and a few others. And I'm coming up on a minute. I'd like to just finish by saying, again, I apologize if I didn't really cover our criteria, but I'm also a grandfather, and my grandson just turned 2 last month. And it is my intention to answer every single question he ever has for me. Honestly. And to tell him that everything is living and breathing and needs to be loved. And just this morning, I was thinking perhaps I should be talking to his father, my son, about the idea of implementing some type of spiritual practice into his life to benefit him. And to give him a chance in this new world. Thank you all for your patience. Thank you all for your love and understanding and during my share. And I appreciate all of you. And thank you so much for this time.